For Tony Kushner, it was essential that Angels in America be firmly rooted in its time, an era of conservatism and of a devastating epidemic.
Reaganite, heartless, macho, asshole lawyers.
Oh, that's unfair.
What is? Heartless, macho, Reaganite, lawyer?
I voted for Reagan.
He wanted it to be very specific.
I mean, I couldn't imagine writing about the mid-80s in New York and not talk about Ronald Reagan. I mean, that was the big news. I mean, that and AIDS. For the people that I was hanging out with, something huge had just happened.
It was the late 80s, and he had some slight distance on the recent past.
I felt that we had come through a really extraordinary and completely transformative moment in American history, and I lived through it as a young adult. And so I gave myself the assignment simply about, in a certain sense, describing what it felt like to be a gay man in New York at the end of the first 4 years of the Reagan counter-revolution, with the epidemic really beginning to explode into this, you know, horror. It's just to describe what seemed to me to be, in a certain sense, a kind of millennial moment.
The connection to the play was the key for me.
A gay Mormon lawyer.
Yes!
Stephen Spinella was the original Prior Walter on Broadway.
Republican, too.
His character, practically fading away from AIDS, is abandoned by his lover.
There are thousands of gay men in New York City with AIDS, and nearly every one of them is being taken care of by a friend or by a lover who has stuck by them through things worse than mine.
What was different about this was the immediacy of the material and actually doing something where I felt that I was playing a contemporary character who lived the same story or a similar story to what I lived. The emotional truth was always there from the very beginning.
It was a time when, if you were connected to the theater in any way, you simply could not separate yourself from the encroachment of AIDS.
It was my circumstance, becoming Times drama critic in 1980, that I was on the beat as this disease first emerged, just as it was being given a name, in fact.
New York Times op-ed columnist and associate editor Frank Rich.
So it became a story I was covering.
Rich's tenure as critic coincided exactly with the series of searing plays by Larry Kramer and others that took AIDS as their subject, leading up to the Kushner work, which treated that subject and much more. They were more against the cultural grain than you might think.
Much of my career as drama critic at the time, you were not allowed to use the word gay in the New York Times unless it was in a direct quote as a matter of style. Well, that flew out the window. I mean, now gay marriages are on the wedding pages. But Kushner hit it just before all that happened.
Are you a homosexual?
Oh, is it that obvious?
And the play was such a monumental cultural event that it couldn't be ignored.
You mean, like, am I a hairdresser?
Are you a hairdresser?
Well, it would be your lucky day if I was.
For many, there was a sense of relief and recognition. Someone had finally cracked the culture open and looked inside.
I want a white nurse. My constitutional right.
This is a hospital. You don't have any constitutional right.
Kushner had also rummaged around in the relatively recent past and pulled out Roy Cohn, Ethel Rosenberg, and dozens of critical references and connections. The spirit of it was both idealistic and deeply cynical.
I hate America, Lewis. I hate this country. It's nothing but a bunch of big ideas and stories and people dying and then people like you.
They're conflicting ideas of America throughout the play. But I think, you know, it's called Angels in America for a reason. I think in the end, an absolute love of America suffuses this play, even as it's arguing with America every bit of its 8 hours.
Maybe that's why it's so often referred to now as the defining theatrical experience of the 90s.
The 90s were for me, and I think this explains the sort of big success of Angels, a time of both mourning, looking back over the time since the late 70s when America, in a sense, sort of politically repudiated the great revolution of the 60s and tried another path, and also a time of great optimism and looking ahead and a feeling that something, we've turned the corner on that. There was a real disenchantment with the politics of selfishness.
For Stephen Spinella, the memory of both mourning and optimism is tied to 7 days in June of 94.
That was also the 25th anniversary of Stonewall. And it was also the year that the gay games were in New York City. There were probably, 100,000 gay people coming into New York City that week. And we had a series of shows that week. God, I just get so emotional when I think about this. But where the audience was like 80% gay, there was a power, there was a feeling of communication, there was a connection with the audience that I don't know that I've ever felt before or after. And I think every actor in the cast would say the same. I remember the scene where I had to show Lewis the lesion on my arm. It was as though every person in the audience was on stage with us. And we were sharing something incredibly intimate, which is what I think the difference between theater and film is, that everybody's in the same room. There is a shared history that we sort of laid open in those performances.
American playwriting is always political. It has been since O'Neill, and it always will be.
In Angels, politics meant people trying to sort out the effects of that shared history.
You terrify me!
I know who you are!
Yes,
I think that, like most plays, where its real power resides is in two people standing in an enclosed space yelling at each other or pleading with each other or trying to, outmaneuver one another. That's what drama is.
And that holds true for any time, any era.
I wouldn't write Angels in America about the situation in the world right now. I would write a different play.
Which is exactly what Kushner is doing. For WNYC, I'm Sarah Fischko.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing. Or
politics.
Country music.
Hockey.
Sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.